Good morning, Open Arms Christian Church. How are we doing this morning? I pray that this finds you good health. Oh, sorry, breathing a little hard there. Kind of excited to be here this morning, praise the Lord. It is Palm Sunday. Wow, can you believe that? This year is really flying. With everything that's going on, it just seems like time gets away from us. Palm Sunday is the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And I mean, this is an exciting time, you know, because what, in a week, we're going to come to the cross. Can you believe that? We're going to come to the cross again. We're going to look at the death and burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But today we're looking at a triumphal entry. And I think last year I ended up preaching on Palm Sunday, I believe. I don't know how that worked out, but I think I did. Because it seemed like when I was looking at, you know, the triumphal entry, it seemed like, well, you know, I studied this before, but found some things that looked at some things, and I guess I want to look at some different things on Palm Sunday. So, first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we need His help in everything we do and everything we say. Go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, we just look at ourselves and we know that we are so unworthy of Your love. But we are so grateful that You love us. Father, we just praise You for it, that Your Son would come and die for each and every one of us. Put up with all the stupidity that humankind is, and that I am. Father, I just praise You that You would just continue to love us, continue to be with us. Father, I just pray that Your hand and Your spirit would be with each and every one. And Your power and Your strength would be with each and every one. Clarity of mind. Father, we just praise You. We just need Your presence. We need Your arms enfolding us so much right now. And Your love around us. We just ask a special blessing on each and every one, Father, of Open Arms Christian Church and churches around the world, that we can feel Your presence and know that we are loved. Father, we just praise You. We thank You. Be with me. Father, open my mouth and my heart and my mind to just show You this morning. We just praise You. We love You, Father. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Palm Sunday. What's Palm Sunday? We all kind of know what Palm Sunday is, but it's when Jesus came to Jerusalem, there was a big thing happened here. I guess the best way to read this, it's in several places of books of the Bible, but I think I'm going to look at Luke. In Luke chapter 19. And stuff going on here, obviously, as usual, but in Luke chapter 19, verse 29, and I might read a little bit here, add a little bit of stuff to this, because we don't always hear everything about the triumphal entry. And I want to look at this, and then I want to look at back, I mean, how reliable, how trustworthy, how truthful is our God? Let's look at Luke chapter 19, verse 29 says, when he, Jesus, came near Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the village yonder. There as you go in, you will find a donkey's colt tied, on which no man has ever sat. Loose it and bring it to you. If anybody asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say, because the Lord has need of it. And I guess we'll stop here for a second. Matt Wiseman does a little interesting story about his donkey whispering days, you know, when he had this donkey. I think we've all heard that story, but I kind of chuckled about that. But donkeys are kind of, well, they're bullheaded. They kind of do what they want to do, and you really can't hardly make them do what you want them to do. This donkey has never been ridden before. So we have to assume no one's ever sat on it. So, I mean, we've all seen pictures of bucking broncos and different things, but this donkey has never been ridden before. Wow. So Jesus sends them to go get it. We'll keep going here. Keep that in mind. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were loosening the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus. Then they threw their garments over the colt and set Jesus upon it. Okay, so they take the cloaks off, set them on the back of this donkey. Jesus gets on this donkey. Never been ridden before. And as he rode along, simple as that, the people kept spreading their garments on the road. And Some versions say they took cut down palm branches and laid them on the road. That's why Palm Sunday. This is the entry of a king, right? Verse 37. As he was approaching the city at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God, extolling him exultantly and loudly for all the mighty miracles and the works of the power that they had witnessed, crying, "Blessed, celebrated with praises is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven." The Amplified says, "Freedom there from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin, and glory, majesty and splendor in the highest heaven." Woo! Huh? Praising the Lord, huh? Kind of reminds you of that praise the Lord thing, huh? Yeah. Ooh. Verse 39. Here we go. You got a fire going. You got this fire burning. Somebody's going to throw water on your fire, ain't they? Verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from the throng said to Jesus, "Teacher, reprove your disciples." They're saying, "Don't be saying this. He's not God. You know, he's not our king. He ain't all this stuff." Verse 40. Jesus replied, "I tell you that if these keep silent, the very stones will cry out." Isn't that cool? Jesus says, "You know what? If nobody would praise and honor me, the rocks are going to cry out." Huh? Wouldn't that be cool? I've picked up a lot of rocks in my time. Anybody that's done any farming, you know there's a lot of rocks. When you plow up a field and you disc it up, there's rocks. You can raise rocks no matter where you are, right? You got rocks. And I never heard one cry out. I never heard one praise God. But Jesus says here, you know, if these people, my disciples, didn't praise and magnify my name, then the rocks would cry out. That's pretty cool, huh? And this is what we see, you know what I'm saying? This is pretty cool. And this is the triumphal entry. This is the thing that's going on. And I want to look at a couple of things in this. And I want to read you a little bit here. Because you, in the midst of this, get this in your mind. I mean, like, praise and worship time here. You know, we're praising and worshiping God. Like, whoo, things are going good. And we're excited and we're emotional and we're praising God. We come to verse 41, it says, "And as he approached, he saw the city. Wept." Wow. Jesus is coming in on a riding in on his donkey. And I guess something to bring up, I guess, at this point. If you were a conquering king, you came in on a horse, big war horse, because you had fought with this city, you had conquered it, you had taken it, you know what I mean? They had surrendered to you, war horse. When you come on the donkey, like David and his sons in the Old Testament, the donkey was point of humble king. It was a loved, he was a loved king. He rode a donkey in. That's what this, it was their king. And this was signified. He was their king. They really didn't realize what kind of a king he was. So as he approaches the city, and all this excitement, Jesus looks at Jerusalem and he weeps. He cries. He physically cries. And you think, what's this all about? Verse 42, Jesus says, "Would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for peace." Wow. And the Amplified says, "For freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, and upon which your peace, your security, safety, prosperity, and happiness depends." Wow. "But now, they're hidden from your eyes." He says, "You know what? I'm the answer to all this stuff. I'm hidden from you. For a time is coming upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank with pointed stakes around you and surround you and shut you in on every side. They will dash you down to the ground, you, Jerusalem, and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, all because you did not come progressively to recognize and know and understand from observation experience the time of your visitation." That is, when God was visiting you, the time in which God showed himself gracious toward you and offered you salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's something. This is a roller coaster of emotions here. Listen to this. It's a roller coaster. Jesus comes on this donkey. People are praising, screaming, hollering loudly, praising the Lord. Can you imagine? Woo! Hollering. And he comes to Jerusalem and he cries. He says, you know what? You don't know me. You don't know that I'm bringing salvation to you. You don't know. Jesus knew what was going to happen. AD 70, Jerusalem was overthrown, destroyed. Jesus saw it coming. Roller coaster. We're high, kind of low, crying. Let's go to the next roller coaster. I was reading this. I thought, wow, triumphal entry, right? He's excited. All these people screaming, hollering, praise God, praise the King. He who comes in the name of the Lord. Woo, Jesus. Comes to a point where he's, wow, he cries. Verse 45. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, telling them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Wow. Two verses. You've got a high, triumphal entry, a low, crying, and then we got some righteous anger. We got righteous anger going on. I thought, woo, righteous anger. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to have to. I was looking at this. Why did he get so upset that he went in there, and it says in some of the verses, he takes makes a cord, a whip of cords, and drives them out of the temple. I don't think he went in and said, you know, guys, I think maybe, you know, I'm trying to be nice here, but I think you guys should probably leave, you know, and move on to... No, he's like, get out! Get out of here! You ain't got no business here! You made my father's house a den of thieves! Wow, not much explanation other than that, is there? You can go back and look at this. Basically, this was going on. You, as a Jew, would come to Jerusalem to sacrifice, and you had to do this at least once a year. All the males had to come to Jerusalem at least once a year. There's many, many feasts and things, but you had to come at least once a year. So you would come. You had to have a sacrifice. Okay. So you would bring a lamb, if you were a richer person, or a turtle dove or something. You'd bring an animal that was going to be sacrificed. You was going to bring this animal. You come to the temple, come to the door, and you're like, boy. How you doing? I'm good. Yeah. I just come to sacrifice. Well, we have the priest is here. He's got to examine your lamb. Okay. Sorry. This lamb is just not quite good enough to be sacrificed. He's not blemish free. This is not perfect. Man, I look at this lamb pretty good. Priest's not happy with it. What am I going to do? Well, it just so happens that we have some lambs here that you can buy. Really? I mean, they're marked up, you know, probably 100%, but these lambs are certified, pre-certified sacrificial lambs. Okay, cool. So, you have money. Well, bummer. There's only certain currency that's allowed in the temple because your money is not that currency. We have an exchange table where you can take your money over and you can exchange your money for the money of the temple, and then you can buy this lamb. Okay. Now, there's an exchange rate, you know, because we have to pay for overhead and people and, you know, stuff like that. So you're going to have to, you know, take this money. We'll take your money and we'll take a percentage of it. You know, it's a small percentage, maybe 50%. It's very small. We will take that, give you the money, and then you can go and buy the lamb. Whew, that's pretty cool, isn't it? What am I going to do with the lamb that I brought? Well, we'll take care of that lamb for you. That's a pretty nice looking lamb. I think we might get money out of that next guy comes around. Okay, this is what was going on. They were taking full advantage of people coming in to sacrifice and praise God, and they were making money off of it. They were making money on the money, and they were making money on the lambs and whatever else people were bringing. Can you imagine? And that's just a small part of it. That's why Jesus got mad. They were making sacrifice to God something to make money. They were trying to make themselves money and were. That's why he got mad. So he's listening to praising, coming into town. He weeps when he sees the town. And then he gets mad and cleans up the temple. And then it says he goes to teaching. Quite a day, huh? You think Jesus had an emotional roller coaster of a day here? I think so, yeah. When you have an emotional roller coaster of a day, Jesus knows exactly where you're at. Yeah, he does. And we got totally off the subject of this, but I want to continue on here. And I want to go back to Zechariah chapter 9. I want to show you a couple things. I guess the reason I want to show you these is God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy to do what he says he's going to do. He is trustworthy. No doubt in my mind that he says it, he's going to do it. And when we pray, sometimes we have to understand that God has an agenda. He does have an agenda. When we pray, sometimes we're not praying in that agenda. That's why the Holy Spirit speaks to us and say, boy, how do I pray in that situation? Sometimes you don't, you know. Sometimes you get a prayer chain coming across and you're like, what would be the best way to pray? I mean, I'm praying for that. I am praying for that. But, you know, do you pray, God, heal them. God, show them. God, be with, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's why it's nice to have the Holy Spirit inside, because he is faithful. He knows God's will. No matter how we pray, what manner we pray, the words we say, he says he intercedes for us. And I just praise the Lord. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. But Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is an Old Testament. Zechariah was written 520 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. 520 years before the birth of Christ. Okay, this was written. And chapter 9 here, there's a lot of stuff going on. Well, verse 9, we're going to look at it. Okay. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation, patient, meek, lowly, and riding on a donkey upon a colt, upon a foal of a donkey. Wow. 500 years before Jesus rides into town. 500 years. God says, you know what? This is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Huh? And this word for shout is it's a military term. It's a split your ears. I mean, it's a loud. It's like a warning cry. It's like a war cry. You know, woo! Pretty cheap war cry, huh? But that's what it is. It's a shout. It's a split your ears. Get your attention. Yeehaw! Praise the Lord. Shout. He says he's gonna shout. He says because he's gonna come. He is going to come. And I guess we should look at this too, I guess. This is a prophetic written down 500 years before he came, prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming back, first advent. I guess that's the advent they call it. First advent, coming in to Jerusalem, riding a donkey, being praised and magnified as the Lord and God. And interestingly enough, you know, in Luke it talks about the disciples, his disciples, and then in Matthew it talks about the crowd. There must have been people. Obviously, when you start doing stuff like this, people are going to congregate, gather. You know what I mean? We're going to get together. People are going to start trying to follow all this stuff along. In Matthew, it's interesting that they go and they do this, but in Matthew, when you read through the same thing, I think it's in verse 11. Matthew 21, verse 11. I just want a side note here. And in verse 10 it says, when they entered Jerusalem, all the city became excited and said, who is this? And the crowds that were coming in with Jesus. Now remember, they're crying, King, our King's coming. Hosanna, praise God. Woo! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah. Verse 11 says, and the crowds replied, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Why didn't they say, here's our king? Because they didn't really believe who he was. They were just going along with the crowd, hollering, screaming, yelling. You got to remember this same crowd that praised and magnified him a week from this day would be crying, crucify him. Wow. Same crowd, same people that were involved in this triumphal entry, this Palm Sunday, this praising, magnifying his name, worship service. A week later, he'd be saying, crucify him. Wow. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's what I was thinking, too. When I was looking at it, I thought it's pretty heavy. You know what? Jesus knew that was going to happen. And even though that was all going on, he tells the Pharisees, you know, if these people didn't cry and worship me, if they didn't praise God, the rocks would cry out. That would have been a cool statement, huh? That would have been cool to see. So we see in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, 500 years before it happens, God says, this is how it's going to go. And this shout, you can look up these words in here. It literally means to twirl, to dance, to shout, to war cry, woohoo, all that good stuff. It's pretty impressive. So a promise was fulfilled 500 years later to the last detail, riding a donkey. If God can fulfill promises like this, He can fulfill the promises that He's made you. Isn't that something? How good is that? How good is that? How good is the promises of our God? Don't let anything happen to you today make you think that God has forgotten you or that His promise has been set aside, because it hasn't. His promises in this book are all yes. And I think sometimes we look at it and say, you know, but people die. Yeah, we do. People do die. People die every day. Maybe from the COVID-19 virus, maybe just from just old age, maybe in a car accident. We don't know. People die every day. I've experienced that. I've seen that. I've been involved in an accident. I know Tim. He's a guy from the fire department, all that stuff, an officer of that. He sees a lot of stuff. I've been involved in that on the road jobs at work. I've seen some tremendous accidents. I've seen deaths and accidents. I've seen people that were driving somewhere to work, maybe come home from work, don't know. In an instant, they're dead. People die. You know, the neat part about that, there is a neat part about it, I guess. Maybe it's not the word, but the neat part about that is when people die and know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, they are ushered immediately into the presence of God. Woo! Is that a praise and worship time or what? To be through with all the stresses and distresses and junk and garbage of this life, to be in the presence of God. Isn't that something? That's pretty cool in my mind, huh? That's pretty cool. Yeah. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And while we're in Zechariah chapter 9, we might as well read verse 10, because verse 9 has been fulfilled. This prophecy has been fulfilled. Verse 10 hasn't yet. Look at this. And I, says Jesus, God, says, I will cut off and exterminate the war chariot from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak the word, and peace shall come to the nations. And his dominion shall be from the Mediterranean Sea to any other sea, and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. Woo! You see that yet? No, I ain't seen that yet. You know what? How many thousands of years between verse 9 and the fulfillment of verse 10? Don't know. Ain't happened yet. God fulfilled verse 9 already. Verse 9 has been fulfilled. It's done deal. It's done. Taken care of. It's done. Huh? Verse 10 is still to come. But God, who fulfilled verse 9, He's going to fulfill verse 10. Isn't that cool? Yes, He is. And I guess if you want to look at this in verse 9 here, there's four features, I guess you'd call them features, the Messiah's character. And the condition is at his first advent. This is the Lord Jesus Christ coming. When he came riding in on the town on this donkey as a humble king. He was just. It means he was righteous. He was justified. He was just in God's sight. He was sinless. He was the Son of God. He was just. He had salvation with him. Excuse me. Obviously, he didn't have salvation with him right here. He did. But salvation came to us. When he died on that cross for your sins. When he paid the price, the penalty for you and I's sins. He died on that cross. God placed every sin he would ever commit on his son. What, he made him sick. Let's go to Isaiah 53. We're going to look at it. Sorry. Isaiah 53. Oh, gosh. Verse 10. Let's look, read verse 8. Isaiah 53. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? Stricken to his death for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Christ took the transgression, the abuse, the suffering that you and I were due. He took it upon himself. We might as well read verse 9, 10, 11 here. And they assigned him a grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Father to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others, shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright and right standing with God. For he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ took the consequences that you and I deserved on his body on that cross. Isn't that cool? He bought, paid for you and I's salvation so that we can spend eternity with God. Wow. Hebrews 5. Let's go look at a couple other things here. I'll jump around a little bit, but you know me. Got to do a little surfing. You awake this morning, right? Huh? I'm awake this morning. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go look at a couple of things here. Chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Start in verse 7. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. I know we got off the triumphal entry, but you know what? Triumphal entry was beautiful. It's something that we should do every Sunday, and we do every Sunday. It's something we should do every day. It's something that reminds me, when the triumphal entry reminds me, when we're praising and worshiping God, we need to praise and worship Him with our heart, our soul, our mind, everything that we are. We're not just singing. We're not just making noise. We are praising God in the way He deserves. And I almost think this crowd, when He was coming into town, they weren't praising Him in the way He deserved. They were just going along with what was being said. Because like I said, a week from now, they're going to be saying, crucify Him. Is that us? Do we 1 week we're praising and magnifying the Lord, and the next week we're saying, He don't love me, I don't even know if He's around. Yeah, I think sometimes we fall in that boat. We're just like they are. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. In the days of His flesh, he's talking about Jesus here, Jesus offered up definite, special petitions for that which He not only wanted, but needed. And supplications with strong crying and tears to Him who was always able to save him out from death. And he was heard because of his reverence toward God, his godly fear, his piety, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation. Wow. From the bright presence of the Father. Do you shrink from the separation, the presence of the Father? Do you spend His time in His presence all the time? Verse 8. Although He was a son, He learned through obedience what He suffered. Really? He learned obedience because He suffered. Verse 9. In His completed experience, making Him perfectly equipped, He became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give Him heed and obey Him. Wow! If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my children. No grandchildren with God. Huh? Your children. Can't go to heaven on somebody else's morals. You got to talk to God and have a personal relationship with Him. Talked about that last week. Getting in that Bible. We got time, right? We're all sitting at home. Not allowed to go anywhere. Good time to be getting back in the Word. Praise the Lord. Got a illustration for you here. I read this. I thought it kind of fits, kind of chuckled. There, There are some wives who get an anniversary present every year. Their husband comes home from work, takes his wife out to dinner, gives her a great gift, and makes a to-do, makes a to-do about the special day. But that's it. The wife doesn't hear from him for the rest of the year. Really? The husband doesn't regularly do any dinners, no dating, no romances, but she can count on it. On the next anniversary, he's going to be there with a great present, a nice dinner, and he's going to wine and dine her, yet practically saying, "Okay, love you. I'll see you again next year." Wow. What we do with God sometimes. Any woman I know would gladly trade in an annual anniversary day for a consistent 364 days a year that were faithful and consistent and full of communication, even if it only included McDonald's. She's looking for something ongoing rather than just one big thing a year. Some of us get happy because we do one big thing for God a year. We say, "Boy, on November 26th, whew, I did a biggie for God. That was a biggie. I know heaven was applauding because I did a whopper. I did a biggie for God." We've got those two or three things a year we do for God. At the judgment seat, God is not going to want to know only about November 26th. He's going to want to know about what you did every day over the course of your life. He's going to ask you, "Did you live a life of faithfulness to me?" God is not concerned about the occasional biggies you do. He's concerned about the consistent obedience that you give. He wants to know whether or not we can be faithful. The definition, faithfulness, is consistently giving God your best in what He calls you to do. Wow. I wonder, you know, and we really celebrate. We celebrate Christmas and Easter and Palm Sunday. It's great. We do it. I mean, we should. It's awesome. But don't just do it one day a year. Celebrate Jesus coming triumphant. Celebrate Jesus every day. You get out of bed, He give you another day. He give you the air in your lungs to breathe another day. Still has work for you. Book of Psalms. Right now is a good time to read the Book of Psalms, I think. What do you think, huh? Pretty good day, pretty good time for it. Lots and lots of good strengtheners in the Book of Psalms. Psalm 46 is an awesome one, and I thought about looking at that, and it says, "God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable through temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble." And the Hebrew word here is, man, it's fast. He is on it. He's God. He is on it. You read Psalm 46. It's pretty cool. I want you to look at Psalms 136. And we're not going to read this whole thing because it would bore you. It would actually bore you. But I'd like you to read Psalm 136. It's interesting. It's only 26 verses, not real big, not hard to do. Psalm 136 says, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." What? "For His mercy and His love endureth forever." Amplified actually says, "For His mercy and loving kindness endure forever." His love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Okay, verse 2. "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for He is mercy and His loving kindness endure forever." Every verse in Psalm 136, after whatever said, His mercy, His love endures forever. He's strong. He's God. He's crazy. You read it through. Verse 26 says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever." God gave you 26 verses. Every ending to the 26 verses is God's love, His mercy endures forever. God is God. He does not change. He does not leave. He doesn't go anywhere. If you don't feel that He's close, you probably moved. Sometimes God just lets us sit a little bit and doesn't answer our prayers because thinking, "Where are you, God? How much do you love me? How dedicated, how committed are you to me? Are you going to still believe me? Are you still going to pray to me? Are you still going to come to me even when it doesn't seem like anything's happening?" Gosh. We serve an awesome and risen Lord. We serve a risen Savior. We serve Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. He is, He's alive, guys. He's alive! Next Sunday, we're going to see it. We're going to praise Him. We're going to thank Him for coming out of that tomb. We're going to praise His name. We got to praise Him for being our God, our Lord, and our Savior. I pray that this message has found each and every one of you well. And I pray that this message touch your heart. Don't just praise and magnify the Lord once a year. Don't just look at the triumphal entry once a year. Look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing He is God. He is so worthy of our praise and admonition and thanksgiving and a prayer. He is so willing. I'm going to preach today on prayer, but this is the sermon God gave me. So we're going to read Psalm 136. Read Psalm 46. Read the whole book of Psalms. You got time, right? You ain't going nowhere. Praise the Lord. For those of us who are still out and about and have to work, I just pray the Lord have a special hand upon you and protect you in this. Let's go, Lord, in prayer next morning. Father, we humbly praise and magnify Your name this morning. We worship You, Father. You are God. We just can't help but praise You. Father, to come before Your throne this morning, I bring each and every one. See their faces, see the names, Father, of all those here in Open Arms Christian Church. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon them. And I know, Father, this is not the only church that You have, but I ask a special blessing upon this family. Father, that they would know that You're God, that You are with them, and without a doubt You love them. Father, just show them in powerful, mighty ways. Come to them, be with them, strengthen them. Heal them, Father. Let them know that You love them. I just ask a special blessing upon them this morning, Father. Father, I ask that the Satan's hands would be tied in the lives of each and every one here. Father, we don't give him a foothold, Father. We bind him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We have power, Father, in Your name. And in Your name and in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we spread that upon people this morning, Father. We pour it out, Father, that they would be covered by Your blood. And that Father would know that You love them. And that Satan can't touch them. We just praise You. We thank You, Father. Magnify Your name this morning, Father. We're going to praise You in every way that we live, in our voice, in our song, in our life, and everything that we are. We're going to praise and magnify You till we can come together and praise You together. We just praise You and thank You. Father, be with us. We love You. And You're precious and holy in Your wonderful name. We say amen. Praise the Lord. Have an awesome day. The Lord loves you. So do I.